517 on the Sports Line. Welcome back to the show. Just me, Rich Roth, flying solo today. And I say that because I'm the only one in the studio, but a whole host of guests going to join me coming up in just a minute on covering the Commonwealth. And we'll kick that all off with Jamie Hamilton, the Associate Director of Golf at the Greenbrier. First, want to let you know that this portion of the show is brought to you by the Leap program at Randolph College. If that first year away at college didn't go quite the way you planned, think Leap. If you've changed your mind about going far from home but haven't changed your mind about a quality education, think Leap. The local educational access program at Randolph College guarantees that local students in the class of 2022 who transfer in will pay no more than $12,000 a year in tuition after federal aid. Most pay far less. Want more information? Go to randolphcollege.edu/leap and learn more.
It was another busy sports weekend here in Central and Southwestern Virginia. And we here at the Sports Line care about our audience. So let's hear from the experts who cover the teams you care about. Here's an unoriginal idea with a local twist. Covering the Commonwealth, a quick-hitting segment with expert insight and analysis on all of the local teams. Let's start with golf.
That's right. The military tribute at the Greenbrier took place this past week and weekend at the Greenbrier, and we're joined now by Jamie Hamilton, Associate Director of Golf at the Greenbrier. Hey, Jamie, how are you?
Rich, I'm doing well. I hope you are as well.
Yeah, man. Things are very good. Very good. And you had a great performance by Kevin Na running away with it. We were wondering if 20 under was going to get it done. Came awfully close.
He did, yeah. He played, that's one of the best weekend performances you'll ever see, 65-64, and when the pressure was on, he played the best golf of anybody in the field, and like you said, he ran away with it, but it was an exciting weekend, and we've got a great champion.
What stood out most for you over the weekend? I mean, obviously, it's a gorgeous golf course. You had a great field once again, a great champion. What, if anything, stood out to you guys? Because, you know, one of the things that I think most people are talking about is Phil Mickelson once again running into trouble with the rules and, finding himself in a bit of trouble and being penalized yet again. I know number 18 wasn't any fun for him on Sunday as well. Things kind of crashed and burned for Phil.
Yeah, you know, he had an interesting round and, yeah, a couple of, a wild shot there on 18 and an interesting rule situation out there as well. But you know, really, when I look at the weekend, I saw a golf course that started to get very firm, started playing very fast, and the guys that were able to keep the ball in the fairway, play smart, put the ball in the right position, they were able to score well. But on the flip side, those that failed to do that, you started to see some very high scores in rounds 3 and 4 that you just didn't see earlier in the week when it was a little more receptive and soft. And you saw guys like Xander Schauffele and Phil and Jim Furyk and guys that had some great rounds early in the week start to go over par, and then a guy like Kevin Na that just got it honed in and went super low, and Brent Snedeker, Joaquin Niemann did the same thing. So a lot more parity in the scores, and I think that really ties back into the golf course conditions and how firm and fast we got there by Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, and that was one of the things you touched on when we talked on Friday, too, is, you know, when you have a great round, the ability to follow it up, and it's hard to go back-to-back with really, really good low rounds. And, I think that kind of played out because, you know, through the first couple of days, the guys who were near the top of the leaderboard, you know, didn't necessarily wind up there near the end of the tournament.
You're right, and there's a lot of pressure. You know, when you're sitting in the lead or near the lead and you know, today I have to go low again and follow that roundup, it's a tough task. And so that's why, I was so impressed there with Kevin the final round. He was right there near the lead to begin and in very quick fashion was tied. And Kelly Kraft sort of wavered. Some of the other players that were right there alongside them couldn't really put their foot on the gas pedal, but you know, going out in 29, 5 under on the front and immediately putting distance out there and then having, the guts to hold out and keep building that lead with the back nine. He looked like a guy that wins a lot more than, I think it was 9 years or so since his last victory. He looked as steady as they come. It was a really impressive performance to watch.
You know, one of the other neat things for folks in the area who are fans of Tech or UVA, or some of the local, even high school programs, lots of local guys from the area, West Virginia and Virginia, who are playing in the field, and that makes it fun, too.
It does, absolutely. You know, just, you know, obviously Marshall University alone had, you know, had three alumni in the field, and Lonto Griffin, who has ties to, you know, the Roanoke and Blacksburg area, he had a big following around, played quite well. He was, came in about 25th or so, but had a really great showing, and yeah, there was a lot of local support for those players, and even those that maybe aren't from the area but have become fan favorites here in the area over the year and participated in our event through the years. I think of Alex Cheka, you know, from Germany originally, but he's been with us for a lot of our events and has a pretty loud and boisterous following, and we saw that all throughout the weekend, and some of the loudest cheers and roars I heard were from the Cheka contingency, who, you know, you wouldn't expect, but kind of an adopted local favorite here.
Yeah, it's neat to see how guys who keep coming back really do get adopted by folks in the community and, you know, become kind of I guess, for lack of a better term, you know, adopted local players that everybody follows.
Absolutely. A good percentage of our field has been really loyal and played in almost all, if not all, of our events. And even you look at the leaderboard and a guy like Robert Streb, who it seems like every year we play this, Robert Streb is right up there and in contention on the weekend, you know, shot 64 on Sunday, of course, was famous a few years ago for pulling every putt he looked at on the back nine with his wedge to get into a playoff. But you know, just familiar names, for whether it was the Greenbrier Classic or a military tribute here at the Greenbrier, we see a lot of familiar faces, and the fans come to know them over the years and become fans of theirs specifically.
Hey, Jamie, last question for you is, we appreciate your time last week and certainly today as well. You touched on the name change, a military tribute at the Greenbrier. Talk about how that, we knew what you guys were expecting going in and the way you were honoring military and veterans. How did it all go?
It was a great thing for me personally to be a part of. I mean, a very humbling experience. The amount of men and women from the armed forces that came out to enjoy the event. We had the Black Hawk helicopter out here, paratroopers coming in. A million little touches all over the event. But really, at the end of the day, it was an opportunity for us to say thank you. And we were lucky to have a lot of those men and women out here on property enjoying it. And I saw spectators all over the grounds taking the time to just shake their hand and say thank you for their service. And, really, that's what it was all about. And it was a great thing to see and a really great thing to be a part of.
Awesome. Good stuff, Jamie. Appreciate your time as always. Look forward to staying in touch. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Rich. I appreciate it.
Yep, you got it. Jamie Hamilton joining us here on Covering the Commonwealth. Kind of kicking things off. Now we switch gears a little bit.
Now to the Virginia Cavaliers.
Jerry Radcliffe of jerryradcliffe.com. And we're going to be seeing a little bit more of you later this week, huh, Hootie?
Yeah, thank you for the invitation to come down and co-host with you Wednesday. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think Ed's going to be out for a couple days, and I know you've done that in the past, and wanted to extend the invitation. I know you've got some exciting things going on with a new gig, jerryradcliffe.com. We talked a little bit about it. We'll talk more about it on Monday, but that going well for you so far?
Yeah, it's taken off really well and being well received by Wahoo Nation, so to speak, and looking forward to building our base up. We're free in July and start charging in August, and people seem to be liking what we're doing, so that's a good feeling.
Biggest thing you're covering and following right now when it comes to Virginia, I know you had some baseball stuff up there, certainly some golf. We were talking about, you know, the Greenbrier this past weekend, and Marino's still hanging around. What's at the top of your list when you think of Virginia right now?
Well, you know, it's probably not the best month in the world to start up a website covering Virginia athletics, but necessity, right? But we've tried to reach out and do some things, involving UVA people. I did something on Brian O'Connor being the pitching coach for Team USA Baseball. I think they're playing in the middle of a series with Japan right now, and then they finish up in Cuba. He's really excited about that. They swept Chinese Taipei in their series, and so it's a nice little three-week gig for him. And as you said, I went over to the Greenbrier this weekend and interviewed Denny McCarthy and Steve Marino, two former UVA golfers now on the PGA Tour. Marino's sticking around. He's 38 years old, and he's coming off a back injury last year, and he's doing okay. Guy's made about $12 million in his career.
It's okay.
And McCarthy is a rookie, so every course is a new course to him. And he still earned, around $400,000 this year and finished fourth. You could see the frustration with him. They both made the cut, but, he feels like he's just on the verge of breaking through, and just making a few more putts would probably do it. He's a pretty good putter. Of course, we did an update on Mark Reynolds and his historic 10 RBI night Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, Saturday night, I guess it was. He hit the walk-off homer on Friday night. So, we're trying to touch all the bases we can before things get serious, just to give people a little sampling of what to expect. And
I love it. $12 million, doing okay. That's probably the quote of the day. Way to go.
Yeah, but when you consider
travel.
Kevin Na, who won the tournament yesterday at the Greenbrier, he hadn't won on the tour since 2011, and we checked his career money standings. He's made like $26-27 million, and picked up another cool million or so yesterday. So, I guess $12 million is sort of a ho-hum compared to that.
Hey, give us one quick UVA football tidbit before we go.
Well, it's I'm looking forward to talking to Bronco again, because he's been over in Germany signing, getting some commitments, and now he has a little free time. I think he's out on the West Coast, and there was a picture on Twitter of him last night surfing. Really cool picture, and I'm looking forward to catching up with him and talking to him about that and some of the other stuff that he does. He's quite an outdoorsman, and so we'll try to do a story on that as soon as he gets back to the East Coast.
Look forward to catching up with you on Wednesday, Hootie. Thank you, man.
All right, we'll see you then. Rich, take care.
Jerry Radcliffe of jerryradcliffe.com, covering the Commonwealth.
Now to the Virginia Tech Hokies.
All right, time to talk a little Hokies, and there is some stuff going on over in Blacksburg. Is more news coming out today, and we're going to get to that right now with Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com. Hi, Chris. How are you?
Doing well. I actually went in the office this morning, and I didn't know what I was going to write about today, but that decision was made for me very quickly.
Man, what's going on over there?
Yeah, with Mook Reynolds getting dismissed today, really kind of puts a void more so in the defensive backfield. I mean, not that it wasn't going to be a void anyway. I mean, Virginia Tech lost Greg Stroman, Brandon Faison, Terrell Edmonds, Adonis Alexander, and Jeremy Webb, the JUCO they brought in, who's ruptured his Achilles. Now just add one more to the list, more attrition. Not exactly sure what Mook's situation was, but apparently he was suspended in the spring as well. And whatever he needed to do to get in back in Justin Fuente's good graces, he either didn't do it or he did something else completely. And at any rate, he's off the team. And, the Hokies, they were already looking pretty thin in the secondary, and now it's even worse.
I'll get to what that's going to mean for the defensive backfield in a second, but and I guess this is a pointless question, because I'm wondering, don't these guys learn? But here we go again. I mean, just, one after another. It's getting crazy.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of like what's going to happen this week. I think earlier when we were talking about the Josh Jackson situation, a few weeks back, I said, I bet Justin Fuente is really ready for August to get here so he can just, start coaching football instead of, having to deal with this stuff. And I'm sure he's even more ready for it now at this point. It's not been a successful offseason for Virginia Tech football, with the exception of recruiting. But as far as some of the other stuff that's gone on, it's not been an ideal offseason.
Well, I mean, you gotta do a good job recruiting if you're losing all these guys.
That's right.
You know, early for just, you know, crazy reasons, and Mook Reynolds the latest. And you said it's gonna take an already thin defensive backfield and make it even thinner. How big? I mean, what are we talking about? 8 starters now that are going to be gone from last year's team for a variety of reasons.
Yeah, that sounds right off the top of my head. And you know, Vinny Mahota coming back, but he's coming back off that torn ACL that he sustained in the home finale last season. So, you know, who knows exactly how he'll be. And he's even changing positions, moving inside the defensive tackle. So, you know, you got Ricky Walker coming back at defensive tackle, and you've got Reggie Floyd coming back at Rover. And then you got Trevon Hill, an experienced defensive end. But other than that, you know, you're breaking in a bunch of brand new starters.
And real quick before we let you go, Adonis Alexander in the supplemental draft Wednesday night, we expect him to go, don't we?
I guess so. You know, that supplemental draft is kind of a crapshoot. You know, some years you go and nobody gets taken. Mm-hmm. But you know, he certainly has the talent to go. I'll put it that way. I don't know how high of a pick I would use him on him. I guess it kind of depends on need and the interviews and things like that. But you know, he's one of the few guys that does have a chance to go.
But things didn't go well in Blacksburg, and that's obviously going to impact.
Right. I wish there was a supplemental draft in college football, because Virginia Tech could use a couple extra bodies in the secondary right now.
You never know what's coming up next, I'll tell you that.
That's right.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate the time as always, man.
All right. Thanks, Rich. Have a good one, man.
Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com.
Now to the Liberty Flames.
All right, time to talk a little Liberty Flames, as we're joined by Damian Sordelet, Lynchburg News in Advance. Hi, Damian.
Hey, Rich. Enjoy your 4th of July.
You know what? It was pretty good. How about yours?
Pretty good. Yeah, I got some grilling done before the fireworks came on, so that's always a good thing.
You know what? It's never a bad thing when you're outside with a grill going, is it?
Oh, no. And it cooled down just a little smidgen. I mean, last week, midweek was you know, just flat out warm, but it was cool enough to get out there, have a breeze, and grill some steaks before the fireworks come on.
See, you know, talking with you is kind of like talking with Hootie. Not a whole lot going on over at LU right now, whereas Virginia Tech, it's like every time you turn around, there's someone getting kicked off the team or let go from the coaching staff, or, you know, it's pretty quiet over there on the mountain, huh?
Yeah, I like what Chris Coleman just said. Justin Fuente probably wants August to get here as quickly as possible to start coaching. But nothing like that going on at Liberty. Everything is, you know, standing pat. The only thing really going on is Marcus Ballingy's preparing for the Thorpe Cup, where he'll be representing Team USA against Germany down in Knoxville, Tennessee at the end of this month. You know, it's an opportunity for a 20-year-old to represent, you know, the nation and get himself some exposure, which could help down the line, you know, for sponsorships if he goes professional and has, you know, continues his progression for his last 2 years of college.
Yeah, and I also wanted to just tell you that I enjoyed your series on the top 10 moments in, you know, Liberty Athletics. Number one, obviously, knocking off Baylor. Thought number two was interesting, though. The vote of confidence and Coach Gill coming back another year was the number two moment, in your opinion.
Yeah, and it was something that we discussed quite a bit last year, especially coming off a third straight 6-5 season. There were a lot of people who speculated that after the Charleston Southern loss, you know, he might have been given the same treatment. I think it was the coach at Arkansas, if I'm not mistaken, who got fired as he was walking off the field, if my memory serves me correctly, where he had to go to the press conference and basically tell them, oh, you know, I've been fired. You know, some people thought that might have happened. You know, might not have even gotten back to Lynchburg. But they just wanted to keep him. You know, that was big, because then you have the big recruiting class that Liberty got in that I believe ranked top 100 according to 247 Sports and Rivals.com, which is big for a program making the jump to FBS. So that, keeping the staff intact and also bringing in a bigger recruiting class, was big for this program as it, you know, inches closer to September 1st when Old Dominion comes to town.
Yeah, consistency is important, and I mean, you know, this is pure speculation on my part, but I have fun doing it. You know, consistency was important, and they probably didn't have anybody that they were, you know, really in love with who was available and willing to take the job too, right? I mean, that ought to be a factor.
I mean, yeah, it definitely could have been a factor. And you also have to look into, you want the coach to bring in the guys who are going to make an impact, maybe not immediately this year, but looking at 19 when the first season of bowl eligibility, and then the years after that. That's a big thing. And, I mean, if you find someone, the right guy that you think is a better fit than Turner Gill is, who the players absolutely love, and those guys say they will play every down at 100% for him. If you can find someone who's a better fit, you know, 2019 with bowl eligibility, that's a big selling point if a change is going to be made. So, but right now, it seems like everyone's intact. You know, based on everything, he's got 2 years left on his contract, so they could go into 2019, see how he does, and see if they want to give him an extension or then look forward. But then you create a situation of a lame duck coach. And so we'll just see how everything plays out. And definitely see if anything transpires with Baylor, but I don't know if you're going to look at Ian McCall coming to town anytime soon. Or sorry, not Ian McCall, Art Briles. You know, that's a name that, you know, a lot of people have been floating around with, you know, following Ian McCall's deposition that, you know, football and the black football players use as scapegoats to essentially cover up the rampant sexual assaults that were going on around the entire campus of Baylor. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out, because a lot of people will bring up Art Briles' name if there's an opening at Liberty.
Boy, that'd be a tough pill to swallow.
Oh, absolutely. And it'll be definitely interesting to watch to see if that plays out in any way, or if the way things were handled at Baylor, you know, probably leave, you know, probably McCall thinking, you know, best to keep my distance from Briles and let him, you know, look for a Power 5 job if his name's ever cleared.
Yeah. Damian, thank you, man. Get back on the grill.
All right, will do. Thanks, Rich.
Damian Sordelet, Lynchburg News and Advance, here on Covering the Commonwealth. And it continues. It's an extended version of Covering the Commonwealth.
Now to
NASCAR, our good friend, Tom Bowles of FrontStretch.com. You're slumming today, Tom. It's just me. How are you?
I know. I'm doing great. I can't believe they abandoned you for this NASCAR segment. Are you going to be reading from a prepared script?
So, boy, you know me so well.
Yep.
Double.
No, Tom. Driver, hold on. The prompter's not moving fast enough.
Oh, it refreshed. Oh, no.
Yep.
Double overtime at Daytona, and we have a first-time winner, Eric Smith. No, Eric Jones. Just kidding.
Yeah, we do. It's about time somebody else broke through. It's been a season dominated by a select few.
And, you know, excitement down at Daytona and a new winner. I mean, that's all a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it should be a good thing. You know, Daytona and the restrictor plate racing that it brings, you know, people on both sides of the fence, right? And, you know, just like with any rule change in a major sport, you know, there are people that are going to be on both sides. And, you know, the people that love plate racing, they love the fact that the engines are restricted. That means that there's parity across the board. Pretty much any one of the 40 drivers has a chance to win. People that hate plate racing, hate the wrecks, worry about the safety of the drivers, and don't like the fact that a driver that would finish 35th pretty much any other week suddenly could win the whole thing because of a survivor-type ending. So, you know, I don't think this race moved the needle for either one of those guys. You know, they're very, very polarized on their sides, and you're going to have fans that are going to love the type of racing that we saw Saturday night. You're going to have fans that just will click off the television and say, no more, I don't like it.
What do you think of Dale Jr. in the booth?
So far, so good. I think he's done a great job the first few weeks of A, describing the action, and B, just having a conversation. He and Steve Letard are very close off the racetrack. Of course, that was his crew chief for several years in the Cup Series.
Of course.
So their camaraderie really has translated well into television. But what I worry about with Dale Jr. is that they rely a little bit too much on him to carry the load, because as popular as he was in the sport, I think if you focus too much on one guy, in particular somebody in the broadcast booth, not someone on the racetrack, I think it's the type of shtick that could get old over time.
Do you think that's something that could, you know, him being up there and him being on the air and as popular as he is and was, do you think that's something that can really have an impact on TV ratings?
You know, it's interesting. Chicagoland was up 15%. It's just the second NASCAR race to have an increase this year. And you can basically say, hey, the schedule is what changed things. Because Chicagoland used to be the postseason opener, you know, direct competition with the NFL, which made ratings a little bit lower. But you can't argue the fact that Dale Jr.'s first race in the booth, and here we are with a ratings increase. So I just don't know. I think it's too early to tell. I will say this, and I think we talked about this last week. When is the last time that you turned on a sporting event, Rich, just for the guy in the booth?
Yeah, it doesn't happen. And if it does, it's just once. Oh, let me check it out. You know, I'm never going back consistently if I'm not interested in the sport that's taking place just to watch the guy who's doing the broadcast.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you may have enjoyed, you know, Troy Aikman, you know, playing quarterback for the NFL, but, you know, if he's play-by-play for curling, I don't think you're going to tune in just because Troy Aikman's doing the curling broadcast, you know? I don't know. I think that it's still way too early to tell whether he's going to have an impact, and I don't think one person conversationally is going to be able to carry the show for 3 hours. You got to have a good product on the racetrack.
And I do, Tom, okay?
I think you made it through. Dale Jr. softball question.
It's so true. It's so true. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
There's no Danica for you to ask about anymore, so you know.
I'm not the only one who misses her.
Yeah, you did your best. We'll try again next week.
Thank you, man.
All right, have a good one.
Tom Bowles, frontstretch.com. Covering the Commonwealth continues with...
Now to... golf.
A little more golf as we've got Chris Lang of the VSGA joining us here. Greenbrier in the books. What'd you think, Chris? Oh, whoops. Hang on. Chris Lang of the VSGA. I have to push the button. Got to remember that. Hi, Chris. Greenbrier in the books. What'd you think?
You know, nice win for Kevin Na. The usual sort of leaderboard, not usually star-studded. The scores are usually really low, and they didn't disappoint this time around. And it's kind of interesting that Kevin Na, who's known for slow play, and had 7 years in between victories on the PGA Tour, but you know, he's really worked on the slow play thing, and he's gotten better at it. And good to see a nice worthy champion out of that event.
And Phil Mickelson, more rule trouble, more cheating for Phil.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of the basic tenets of golf. You can't improve your lie. In fact, I was at a Poplar Forest about a year ago, and I called a buddy on it, and he laughed at me, and I was like, "Well, no, it's true. You can't like bend the branch back to make your make your shot easier. You just you kind of play it as a lie, sort of thing." And you know what? It's yeah, you know, it is what it is, and maybe Phil needs a refresher on the rules. Who knows?
You called your buddy on it. I love it.
Well, it was a joke more than anything. Come on, we were both shooting 100, so none of us were playing in a match or anything. So.
And as for the VSGA, you've got the Delta Dental State Open coming up.
They had a last chance open qualifier today out at the Club of Inatera in New Kent. Got some familiar names made in there, including a past champion in Ted Brown and G.C. Park, who is now a professional, was an amateur last year and tied for low amateur honors, but he'll be competing as a professional this time around. A couple other guys made it in, and you know, we're gonna have a pretty strong field over there at Ballyhack starting next Thursday, and looking forward to getting out there, and hopefully it won't be 99 degrees every day like it was last year. You know, it's gonna be hot, but when we get a little bit cooler weather, it'd be kind of nice.
Yeah, take what we had over the weekend, right? Mid-80s.
Oh, for sure. It was awesome.
Chris, thank you, man. Appreciate it. We'll be in touch.
All right, thanks, guys.
Chris Lang of the VSGA here on Covering the Commonwealth.
And finally,
we'll wrap it up with a little Commonwealth Games. Lonnie Young joins us of the Commonwealth Games, getting ready for archery. Hi, Lonnie.
Hello, how are you?
Very good. How about yourself?
Doing wonderfully.
You know, it's creeping up on us, isn't it?
It is. It is coming up so quick, but I'm ready for it.
You are?
Yes.
All right, outstanding. Tell me about archery this year.
So archery, we've already had to close one of our rounds already because we're at capacity.
Awesome.
We have two events. We have a 900 round, which is a one-day event on Friday, and then we have a star feeder event, which is a two-day event for Saturday and Sunday.
So which one did you close?
We closed the 900 round, the one for Friday.
The one day, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So still some opportunity if people want to register at commonwealthgames.org?
Definitely.
And tell me a little bit about the two-day competition that's still available. What are folks going to be doing? I mean, obviously
we're going to be shooting bows.
Yes. Thank you.
What we'll be doing, and this will be the whole time anyways, is that we'll be shooting different distances on each of those days. On the 900 round day on Friday, they'll be shooting three different distances. And on the two-day event on Saturday, they'll shoot two long distances. And on Sunday, two short distances. And the distances depend on what age group you're in and what gender sometimes. So the longest distance will be 90 meters, and the closest distance will be about 25 meters.
And you're going to have people aging in range from what to what?
I actually looked at the website, and we actually have people registered from 8 all the way up to 79 years old this year.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, great diversity. No, that's
so
cool.
I'm really excited about this.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So if anybody wants to register Saturday, Sunday, the two-day event still open, commonwealthgames.org. Thank you,
yes.
Lonnie.
Thank you very much.
Have a great one. Good luck.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
It's covering the Commonwealth here on the Sports Line, and we've got to take our final break. We're going to come back and wrap up the show in just a minute. But man, I'm exhausted covering the Commonwealth. We've never had that many guests, but we've got that much going on. And tomorrow, don't forget, Steven Strasburg in Lynchburg. Rehab assignment against the Hillcats. We'll talk more about that maybe coming up, but certainly tomorrow. Stay tuned. It's the Sports Line.